song. Gets me choked up every time. Because every time that, when it talks about, you gave me chance after chance after chance. Hint, look, that's what these, go ahead, I'm sorry. I'm ready to start.
I don't know what this is, I'm sorry. She said it's hot. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'm just here to greet you. That's all my duty is. But I was like, Josh, if you want me to sit down, I can. I remember Josh was always like, hey, I just want you to say something before I share. So the enemy will fight you in everything that he has for you. And I remember him asking me that, and it made me feel good. I couldn't wait for those opportunities because, mind you, I didn't have him for a long time. So I didn't even know that he was leading this morning until yesterday. And I was like, oh, I don't have anything to share with the church this morning. And it's just like I'm saying, it's just like the enemy to try to figure out where to get you at, because I feel like I'm pretty strong. And I'm like, nope, you're not messing with me, you're not messing with me. But this morning, I thought, what am I going to say at church? I don't even have nothing to say. Oh, I'm just telling Josh, I'm not saying nothing. And so it's just little things like that that'll prick you through the week. And when the guys get to come up here and they get to share about what happens during their week, you know, they're a testimony to us. We can relate on some of the things that they might be going through, or just in a different manner. But this morning, I'm so full of gratitude for all the things that the Father's doing. It's a season of change for a lot of people. It's a season of growth for a lot of people. People are graduating. Eli is, you know, working on finishing his program, his PT,
degree.
I'm working on finishing my degree. It's a lot of changes, and I know in your life you're probably experiencing those things as well. And it could be hard things or it could be good things, but they're things. And it depends on us what it's going to look like every day according to what we're going to receive from it. And we have to always, 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 even when it hurts or even when it's good, just be in Him, no matter what that looks like. And it might not look like you're moving, but you are. I can remember those times of feeling that I wasn't moving, and then I could just stand here this morning and just be so full of gratitude, so full of thankfulness when I look in this building and I see everybody. And it's so great to have Sadie and them here this morning. It's so great to have Eli and them here this morning.
It
feels good to have your people with you. So it's just a beautiful Shabbat, even if it's raining outside. So thank y'all, and I love y'all.
I don't need that.
Yeah, I'm done. I'm finished. Oh, you don't need
that. All righty. Well, we are going to get into Exodus, and I'm so thankful that we took Genesis the way we took it. We hit the brakes. We didn't slow down. We really hit the brakes, and we took line upon line, word upon word, precept upon precept, and you learn more when you slow down and really look at it from a Hebrew perspective. You really learn a whole lot more. And this morning I was just telling how thankful I was that we slowed down Genesis, and we're getting in Exodus, and I've been wanting to jump in this thing when we was in 50 for a month. I was like, man, I even told my brother, I said, man, I'm ready to get in Exodus. Because there's some powerful stuff happening in Exodus. You see Moshe putting his paid vav to work. What he said, he was putting it to work. And I got these books right here, and I just, when he puts something in my mind, I react. I'm learning to. Anyway, he's working on me. So we did a little trial when you see how many we got. And you know, these bricks, they represent, we're going to see that it was killing them, putting harsh labor on them with bricks and mortar. But the more they put on them, the more Yehovah moved on their behalf. The more they increased, the more they multiplied. And it was Pharaoh couldn't understand what was going on. He's like, what is really going on? The more I put on these people, the more they rise to the occasion. And that's what I want in our lives this morning. I hope when we finish Exodus, starting this morning, I hope when we finish Exodus, we not only do we thrive in what he wants us to do, but whatever he puts on us, we don't say, oh man, that's too much. Oh, it's too much. No, ask for it, because it said the more they put on, the more they multiply. So I'm so thankful that we're getting in this Exodus account right here. Let's see, I want to bring talks about Exodus. It was not just a history. It was a pattern coming from spiritual insight. And look, these bricks, think of, you know, it's a lot of weight. So think of the weight that you might be carrying. You might be carrying some weight this morning. You might have whatever you got, fear, doubt, you know, think that I've done went too far and there's no turning back from what it's all from the enemy. It's the enemy. It's the enemy putting that burden on you, putting that stuff into your head to where he wants you to think that you cannot come back from where you from where you might be at in your life. But these bricks, hopefully today, like I said, going forward, that we can release some of these weights this morning. Look, we can start with the big ones, the ones that really make sense to you. I mean, that's, you know, on you heavy, heavy, heavy. But what I also want to do is hopefully show you that not only is the, you know, the big ones that you can point out, like everybody, you know, fear is like the one that comes to your mind. Say, oh man, I got fear. Fear, that's a burden. But what about these little ones that you don't think about? That's the ones I want him to search my heart. Like we said in that Psalms 135, search me, or 139, search my heart, because I don't want to have no burdens, none of the world. I want to have his burdens, like this right here. This is not a burden, by the way, but it can be. You know, you sweat a little bit when you got to bring this message. But it's an honor. But it wasn't just history. It's a pattern. The enemy binds before he destroys. The enemy binds before he destroys. He targets identity, growth, and future. And that's what Pharaoh was targeting in the life of the Israelites. He was targeting their identity, their growth, and their future. Why? Because straight off the bat, he's wanting to take out the lies and everything. Why? Because he knew that the Yeshua, HaMashiach, was coming from those people. The enemy knows that. So what he did, he put Pharaoh, and what Pharaoh operated off of? Fear. Listen, they had years of just everything was going lovely for them. They came into Goshen. Yaakov moved his family into Goshen, and just 70 of them, really. 70. But look how much they multiplied. But he moved them into Goshen, and they was going, you know, that Pharaoh at that time loved Joseph. Loved him. Whatever Joseph said, that Pharaoh honored it. Didn't matter what it was. He honored it. But then arose this other Pharaoh who had no, it says, didn't even know Joseph. Now, he didn't know him on a personal level, but I'm pretty sure the impact that Joseph made, because not only did he save Israel, he saved the Mishraites too. On the storing up. Because they didn't, just like all, the whole land was without food. So he knew of Joseph, but he didn't know Joseph on a personal level. But he knew of him. He knew of him. He says he uses pressure to silence purpose. Matthew 16:18-19. Let's look at that. Matthew 16:18-19. He uses pressure to silence purpose. And man, I can testify to that. Because he does use his pressure to silence your purpose. And I felt that for a very long time. I felt that. You know, because you always think about your past mistakes. And that's what he wants to remind you of. He wants to keep that in your mind. So Matthew 16:18-19. It says, and I also say to you that ye are careful, on this rock I shall build my assembly, and the gates of Sheol shall not overcome it. And I shall give you the keys Listen, key verse. And I shall give you the keys of the reins of the heaven. And whatever you bind on earth shall be having been bound in heaven. And whatever you loosen on earth shall be having been loosened in the heavens. What a 19:6-18. All right. Listen, but look what he says. He said, I didn't give you the key. He said, I give you keys. Why? Because I don't care what bondage the enemy wants to put on your life, you have the key to loosen it. I don't care if it's fear, doubt, anything you can think of that might be in your life right now. He said, you have the keys. You have the keys to unlock that. Not, he said, you don't have a key. He's the master key, first of all. Yeshua is our master key. All we need just that one key. But he said, no, I give you keys because you can, anything you bound on earth will be bound in heaven. Anything you loosen on earth can be loose in heaven. And I know we got some things in our life that needs to be loosened. I know we do. I do. So what that, it says, authority is given to the faithful. That's what Matthew 16 is telling us. What our master is telling us. Authority is given to the faithful. What was bound can be loose. What was bound can be loose. But it's all up to us. All up to your, you know, the decision you make. What you want. How you want it. What was restricted can be open. That's what keys do. What keys do? It opens the door. It unlocks things. It opens it for you. So you want blessings? That key? That's the key he's talking about? You want blessings? Grab that key and unlock that bell, boy. Watch blessings flow upon you. Pharaoh represents the counterfeit authority that binds destiny. Yeshua restores true authority to loosen what was bound. In Matthew 18, which we read, no, let's read Matthew 18:18-20. Matthew 18:18-20. Truly I say to you, brother, truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be having been bound in heaven, and whatever you loosen on earth shall be having been loosened in heaven. Again I say to you, that if two of you agree on earth concerning any matter that they ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in the heavens. For wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in their midst. There I am in their midst. Two. He says wherever two are gathered. Two like-minded people. Can't be yoked to somebody else who's not on the same page as you. Ain't gonna work. Our master tells us that. He talks about being yoked to him. I'm gonna read that one too. But I titled this message, The I Am is present in your suffering. The I Am is present in your suffering. Whatever you might be going through, know that the great I Am, which we're going to see in Exodus when we get down, because Moshe asks him, and he tells him his name, says, the great I Am, tell Pharaoh. So the great I Am, think about that. He's in your presence. He's in whatever you're going through. He cares about us that much and loves about us that and loves us that much that he wants to be right in the mess with us, right in the hard labor. Right in the bondage that we put ourselves in sometimes. Now, I took this statement right here from Pastor's teaching last Shabbat. It says, binding never separates the chosen from the chooser. Never separates the chosen from the chooser. Everything Moshe did in Exodus era was done through the pay. Through a mouth. Listen to this. This is how important this paid 5 year is. Through a mouth consecrated by fire. Amen. Humbled by calling. And then unleashed by divine commission. Pay does not simply speak. It speaks with weight. Amen. With jurisdiction. And with the capacity to alter the course of nations. And that's what Moshe did. When Moshe started beginning to speak and he put this into action, it changed the whole course of a nation. Millions of people left when it was time to get up out of there. Millions. So I'm going to read Matthew 11:28-30. We're going to get to Exodus. I'm going to read the whole chapter in Exodus. And then I'm going to come back and just touch it, you know, on every verse as far as we can get. because I know we're going to go through, we're going to hit Exodus 1 probably for about a month. I'm not even, just one chapter. I could imagine, I can't, the whole book that we're going to do, man, we're going to be in Exodus for a while, because that's some powerful things happen in Exodus. Powerful. It's just like I just read. Listen, we got a constant, we got a, our speech, we got a, that bad boy's got to speak, it's got to come out of our mouth with authority. Not, I don't know, or maybe, if he, if, no. We got to consecrate, our voice has to come out with power. Because this is the year we're in. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. This is Yeshua. Come to me, all who are labor and are burdened, and I shall give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your beings. For my yoke is gentle and my burden is light. But notice what he said. Come to me, all who are labor and burdened. He knows you struggle. He knows we struggle. He knows what we're going through. But he said, he loves us that much to say, come on anyway. Bring all that junk with you. Come by me, but bring it all. Don't hold nothing back. Bring it all. I want it all. Because I'm going to show you how much I love and care about you. Exodus 1 is not just about suffering. It's about unstoppable covenant identity. No matter what Pharaoh did, no matter, he acted up for fear, so that came straight from the enemy. No matter what they did, they could not stop the covenant that Jehovah made with Abraham years before. Then he started making covenant right here. He's going to start making the covenant with Moshe as we go along with this. You're going to see it. But he can't stop it. Even when you feel forgotten, oppressed, or attacked, God's people multiply and not disappear. All that they was going through, no matter how much, you know, I'm pretty sure they felt forgotten many, many, many a days. Just like us today, no different. Look at it on the spirit. We reading this story of something that happened, but look at it on a spiritual level, what we're dealing with today. Of course, we ain't got no pharaohs on us, you know, you got a job, but that's not a pharaoh. Man, you go and come when you want, man. Basically, they can't hold you there. They can't make you do something. They can't make me run the crane. They can't make me drive the boat or the forklift. But on a spiritual level, what I'm dealing with on the inside, that's my goal. That's what I want to aim for. Because none of us is really feeling what they was feeling. You know, we don't work like that. We ain't got no taskmasters over us just putting more and more and more brick on us and making us do all the hard work for what? For them to live. And they say they built houses for Pharaoh. Built houses for Pharaoh. So, Exodus 1. And these are the names of the children of Israel who came to Mitzrayim and Yaakov, with Yaakov, each one of his household. Now, straight off the bat, these are the names. Names are so important. He didn't start with nothing else. He wanted you to make sure that the names, that's the names I made a covenant with way back then, and my covenant is still with them right here, even though I know what they're going to be going through. They're going to go through a lot, but that ain't going to change my covenant. So straight off the jump, let me hit you with the names. It says God begins redemption by calling names, not describing problems. He's the problem solver. There's nothing too big for him. We ain't got a problem that neither one of us face today that he cannot solve. Listen, we know the problem solver. We hinder ourselves. We hold ourselves back. John 10:3. Let's make a New Testament connection with that. Hold your spot in Exodus. Turn to John 10:3 right quick. Talking about names. He called them by their name. He didn't describe their problems. And your name matter. He knows your name. He knows your struggles. He knows what you're going through. It says in verse 3, it says, the doorkeeper opens for him, and the sheep hears his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Yeah. Calls you by name and leads you out. You think he cares about you? He don't care about your problem. He wants all the problems. But how encouragement is that? To know that he knows each and last one of our names sitting in this building. And those that's not even in this building, that's coming. Yes. That's coming. They coming back. And verse 1 is identity before deliverance. He didn't deliver them straight off the bat, but he identified. He made the reader identify them, the writer. Make sure that you know that we know who he's talking, his people. Names come before miracles. You must know who you are before being set free. You must know who you are before being set free. Verse 2. Reuben, back in Exodus. Shimon, Levi, and Yehuda. Issachar, Zebulun, and Benjamin. Dan, and Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. And all those who were descendants of Yaakov were 70 beings, as Joseph was already in Mishraim. When they first came there, it was 70. You think they multiplied? Let us keep reading. So let's identify some names. Let's see what the names mean in Hebrew. Reuben is see a son. Simon is here. Or God hears. Levi is join. Judah is praise. Dan is judge. Naphtali, my wrestling. Gad, good fortune. Asher, happy or blessed. Issachar, often explained as reward or hired. Zebulun, dwelling or honor. Joseph, may he add. And Benjamin, son of the right hand. And all those who were descendants of Yaakov were 70 beings, as Joseph was already in Mitzrayim. And Joseph died, and all his brothers, and all that generation. So all the good that Joseph did, now he's gone. Now what? And not just him, all that generation. Now we got a whole new generation, a new pharaoh, a new group of people. All that's coming into play right here. But notice, Joseph's debt, it didn't mark a termination. It marked a transition. His debt marked a transition. Something was about to happen. Something was already happening that put so much fear in Pharaoh's life to where he made that the command to start doing this to the Israelites. Because of fear. A generation died, but covenant continues. A generation dies, but covenant continues. Still to this very day, these generations have been gone, been over, dead, long time ago. But still to this day, Yehovah's covenant still remains the same as it did with them, as it do for us today. Don't change. The children of Israel were fruitful. Verse 7. And the children of Israel were fruitful and increased very much. I want you to notice the words they're using right here, just in this one verse, in verse 7. And the children of Israel were fruitful and increased very much, multiplied, and became very strong. They just didn't become strong, they were very strong. And the land was filled with them. Everywhere they turned around, there was an Israelite. They go in the market stores, there's 3-4 Hebrews speaking Hebrew. The land was full. And that kind of made Pharaoh a little, kind of ticked them off, I guess, in a nice way you can say. Man, all these people, All these Hebrews in our land, on our property. Acts 12:24. Let's see what the New Testament connection makes with this for us today. Listen what it says. And the word of Elohim, am I reading Acts 12? Went on growing and spreading. What the word does? The word is grow and it spreads. The word of God grew and multiplied in Acts 12:24. The same thing the children of Israel did. They grew and they multiplied. They became strong. Growing is a sign of a blessing. Growing is the sign. Brother Chad talked about that last night and mentioned about his business, how he grew. You know, it took time to grow. It took time to grow his business. And he said he wasn't getting a big head about it. It's not about him. It's about just the Father blessing him. When you stay on course, listen, and what's so great about the Father? He knows when you're going to have your falls. He knows when you're going to have your your hiccups. He knows when you're going to come to a spot the way you're just going to want to give up. But it doesn't change the course for your life that he plans out for you. It doesn't change that at all. Pharaoh oppresses Israel. Oppression begins, but the promise remains. Oppression begins, but the promise remains. Then a new sovereign arose over Mitzrayim who did not know Yosef. And he said to his people, see, the people of the children of Israel are more and stronger than we. And like I said, he didn't know Joseph on a personal level, but he knew of Joseph. There's nobody could say in that land that they didn't know what Joseph did for the entire world. No way. But he chose not to because he let fear help him make a decision that you can't operate on fear. Fear should never be a foundation that we make make a decision off of. He says, and he said to his people, come. He says, people, see, the people of the children of Israel are more and stronger than we. Come, let us act wisely toward them, lest they increase, and it shall be, when fighting befalls, that they shall join our enemies and fight against us, and shall go up out of the land. Now, Pharaoh's plan sounded wise, because the way he says, come on, let us act wisely towards them. You think, okay, well, maybe he's going to help these guys out a little bit. Well, no. He was thinking of something. He was planning his attack is what he was doing. It sounds wise, but is wisdom detached from reverence, justice, and truth? The same energy that could be used for stewardship becomes manipulation. Forgetting God's past mercies leads to unjust present decisions. Forgetting about his mercies makes you do wrong, makes you act upon wrong decisions, make you make wrong decisions because you forgot about his just that leads us. Fear is a terrible foundation for making decisions. Anybody ever made decisions on fear? Yeah, I have. And it's the truth. That's what it says. A terrible foundation for making decisions. Because you're not going to make the right decision. You're not operating in your right mindset. When fear consumes you, trust me, you will make wrong decisions every single time. Not sometimes, every time. A Exodus 11, so they set slave masters over them to afflict them with the burdens. And they built for Pharaoh supply cities, Phittim and Ramses. Exodus is describing hard service, burdens, and ruthless treatment. Carrying bricks for someone else's empire for the experience of oppression. That's all the Israelites was doing. They was carrying bricks for Pharaoh's empire, and the only thing they got out of it was the experience of oppression. Which, hey, don't take it as a bad thing, neither. Let it be a learning. What we learn out of our difficulties, what we learn out of our burdens, our mishaps, that's the focus that we need to focus on. Not so much that, oh, Pharaoh, you know, they was doing all this hard work and they ain't get to enjoy nothing. But let's not forget about all the years. Not they didn't have it, but everybody that was before them had. It was wonderful in Goshen. They loved Goshen at that time. I wonder how much they was loving Goshen when this Pharaoh came up on the scene. Talking about that they was in his land or on their property, on his property. Verse 12, but the more they afflicted them, the more they increased and grew. And they were in dread of the children of Israel. They was fearful of them. Man, if we was holding a conversation, we'd probably call them like, man, they're like ants. You just can't get rid of them. They're all over the place. But they feared him. He feared. Instead of Pharaoh taking, you know, what the father, what Yah had placed in there for them to do what they was doing, you know, what they was helping them take care of their land. It was, you know, there was farmers, there was cattle, herdsmen and all, you know, shepherds. But that fellow took it completely, because of his fear, he took it completely the wrong way. He seen it as an attack on them, that they was growing so much, and he didn't know what was going on. It threw him off big time. He said, but the more they afflicted them, the more they increased and grew. And they were in dread, the children of Israel. How about, who want that for your life? That the more the enemy might put on you or feel like he's putting on you, the more weight, all you do is prosper. All you do is benefit from it. I want to. That's what I want to do. I want to benefit from it. I want to learn from it. I want to grow. I want to increase. Increase my faith. Increase my learning. Affliction triggers multiplication. Here's a kingdom principle. Pressure produces expansion. Affliction can accelerate purpose, not stop it. Affliction can accelerate your purpose, but it can't stop it. It can't stop it when Yehovah has a covenant on your life. There's nothing the enemy can do. You can get sidetracked. You can get off the course a little bit, but by his set apart spirit, some way, somehow, he aligns you right back up. Right back up with it. Can't stop it. It only accelerates it. Romans 5. Let's look at Romans 5:3. Let's start with verse 1 and we're going to go to verse 3. It says, therefore, having been declared right by belief, we have peace with Elohim through our Master Yeshua Messiah. Where we have peace. Remember what he said? Take my yoke. Take my burden. Why? He said, peace. The Israelites didn't have peace when the second Pharaoh rose up on the scene. There was no peace. There was always in their mind probably, what's next? How much more? How much more can he put on us? Through whom also we have access by belief into this favor in which we stand. And we exult in the expectation of the esteem of Elohim. And not only this, but we also exult in pressures. Knowing that pressure works endurance, and endurance, approveness and approveness expectation. What pressure, what pressure does? Pressure produces endurance. So look, when you're feeling a little pressure, don't get down on yourself. Thank them. Thank them. I don't know why I'm feeling it, but the endurance is coming. The endurance is coming. I don't know why I'm feeling this way, Father, but I'm going to trust you. I'm going to stay in line with your word. So suffering produces endurance. Verse 13, Exodus 1:13. And the Midianites made the children of Israel serve with harshness, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and in brick and in all kinds of work in the field, and all their work which they made them do was with harshness. Then the servant of Mishraim spoke to the Hebrew wives, of whom the name of one Shipra and the name of the other Pua. And he said, when you deliver the Hebrew women and see them on birth stools, if it is a son, then you shall put him to death. But if it is a daughter, then he shall live. But I want to back up right quick to this 13 and 14. And it says, and the Midianites made the children of Israel serve with harshness, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and in brick and in all kind of work in the field. Come see Alec. Brother Chad. Now, me and Brother Rob did a little trial run last night, and we put 10, in the basket. And I said, how was it? He walked 2 times, and he said, it wasn't that bad, you know, I could feel it. So I'm like, oh, man, I got to make this harder. So I went and got them bricks this morning, and so we're going to try to, because this is the weight they was putting on the people. They was putting it with harshness. Got it?
Yeah.
You can, a couple more?
Yeah.
Now you see, this fellow wasn't asking, are you okay? Is that too heavy? Can I put one more on there? No, harshness. Do we know what harshness means? You have a drill sergeant. You know, you watch them, they in your face. They spitting on you, they cussing at you, they hollering at you. They probably think, where's your guy now? Where's Joseph? Where's your Joseph now? Huh? Is it okay? Let me know when you get tired. We got your brother coming. He got some muscles. Oh, you got yours? Hold on, brother. I got yours coming. Don't beg for him. Is this okay? Huh, Brother Chad? Walk down here for me. Where's Joseph? Huh? Y'all had all these years to store up. Where y'all deliverers at now? Pharaoh, harshness, hollering at him, cursing him, threatening him. Oh, that was too easy. Turn around. That was too easy. That was fast. Harshness. We ain't done with y'all. Y'all got to build my storehouses. Huh? Okay, well, good. Good, good. I'm great. You see?
Yesterday.
Okay, take that one then. It's heavy? One more time.
It's a little heavy.
But let's remember, the more they put on them, the more they multiply. Come on there. Is that it?
Good.
Good? Oh, no. We can't be good. Well, you can, look, put it in there. Because the more, hold on, let me help you. The more they did it, come here, Eli. Brother Rob.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah. The more they did it, though, the more he put on them, man, the more they would multiply. Pharaoh couldn't understand it. One on each side.
Oh, okay.
Hey, you want Tessa? You a bad Hebrew, huh? Keep going. How's that? Better, huh? The more we put on them, the more they increase. Come here, spider. The more he put on, the more. Come here, young money. The more he put, the more he put on, the more they increase. The fellow couldn't understand it. Man, I'm putting all this stuff in their baskets. Grab it in with them. Like, you get one in the back, there you go. Easier, huh? Boy, fellow would have got you. Drop his brick. He couldn't understand it, though. The more they were putting on them, they're steady increasing. Steady increasing. Couldn't understand it. But when the great I am is in our midst, when he's in our, okay, y'all can stop, man. I asked Brother Rob that. He said, I could have went a couple more times. So what, about 8 hours? He said, oh, no. But that's how long they was a day. They wasn't just doing 5 minutes of work, 2-3 hours of work. He was steady putting the pressure on them. But when Yehovah is in your midst, the enemy cannot put that much pressure on it the way you cannot handle it. You can handle anything he puts on you, in front of you. I'm out of breath just trying to keep up with y'all. I knew I wouldn't have made it back then. Well, I probably will. I wouldn't. I can't say I wouldn't have. But that's what Pharaoh couldn't understand, that the more that he was putting on that basket, the more he was putting in their back, it just kept flourishing. It kept sprouting up. Next thing you know, another Hebrew child. Another Hebrew child. Man, where are these Hebrew children? I told him, kill it. Kill them there. So it made him serve with harshness. Then the sovereign of Mizraim spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of whom the name of one was Shipra, the name of the other Pua. And he said, when you deliver the Hebrew women and see them on their birth stools, if it is a son, then you shall put him to death. But if it is a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwife, why the son? Remember, his seed's going to crush your head. So the enemy wasn't looking for females. He wanted the male. He wanted the male straight off the back. Let's wipe the males out. But he couldn't. He couldn't. It says, but the midwives, why? They feared Elohim and did not do as the solvent of Mizraim commanded them and kept the male children alive. Fear of Elohim overrides fear of power. The fear of Elohim overrides the fear of power every single time. Every single time. Acts 5:29. Look what Kepha says right here. And Kepha and the other emissaries answering said, we have to obey Elohim rather than man. We have to obey Elohim rather than man. What man says? You don't have to do Saturday. Saturday's not Shabbat. We're going to do Sunday. Sunday Shabbat. Right? That's man's tradition. That's man where it wasn't Elohim's. We have to fear Elohim. He says Saturday is my Shabbat. You keep Saturday. Friday evening, Saturday evening, that's the Shabbat, not Sunday. Don't fear man, because man going to try to put the pressure on you. At work, I blame myself because when I got this job, I wasn't doing what I was supposed to be doing. You know, I was doing Josh. I was doing Josh thing, whatever Josh wanted to do. So you go to work, then these people see, well, you know, I was working Monday through Sunday. Anything to just keep my mind from, because my mind was jacked up big time. It was tormented. So I wanted to work to where I didn't have to think. Quiet time, when you quiet, when you by yourself, man, it tears you up. So anyway, got to working and people got to like me, and then a new fellow came in the town, so to speak, a new supervisor. And he says, you're going to have to work. Now this is me coming back to church, right? And it's me lining myself back up with the Father. And now I got to go to him and try to explain to these people that I can't work on Saturdays. I can do Sunday all day long, just can't do Saturday. And they don't understand that because the work is Monday through Saturday. Everybody went off on Sunday. The world went off on Sunday. So what I'm getting at is that I couldn't let my fear of Elohim, let the fear of man override the fear of Elohim. I knew what I had to do. I knew they wouldn't understand it, but hey, here we go. So I go to them, and the first supervisor I had, they was cool with it. But then, like I said, this new supervisor came in, and he was like, hey, you got to work. You're going to work every Saturday. And I'm like, no, I'm not. So what I do, I call Uncle Tom. Uncle Tom, well, we say Uncle Tom, it's Tom Rogers. He's above the guy who came into play. And I said, Uncle Tom, I said, I got a problem. And he's like, what's that? I said, this guy said, I have to work every Saturday, but I go to church on Saturdays. I can't do Saturdays. He said, oh, no. He said, we're going to take care of that. Next thing I know, I see him talking to my supervisor. And he comes back to Uncle Tom, come back to me and said, taking care of, don't worry about nothing. You take off every Saturday with no problem. But listen, I had to let my fear of Elohim override that fear of man. I could have stayed there and been like, man, I'm fearful. I don't want to go talk. Because this is like the second time I had to talk to him. Because I was in and out, remember? 3 years, in and out, back and forth. So not only, they probably didn't know what I was doing. I was confusing them more than what I was confusing myself. But I had to let that, my fear of Elohim, override that. And let him make a way. He always made a way. Even when I didn't deserve it, he didn't have to do that. He could have said, you know, you made your bed lying and suffer for a little while. Let this bird, let that be a burden to you. Carry that for a little while. But he's not going to go against his will, so he couldn't have done that. He couldn't have done that to me. Because he says, honor the Shabbat. And it's on Saturdays. So I was born with a leg to stand on pretty much. I knew he had my back when I was going to bring this to my supervisor. So you listen, don't be fearful of what men say. Fear Elohim. Let that override man. You win every time. You win every time when you let that happen. 18. Exodus 1:18. So the sovereign of Mishraim called the midwives and said to them, why have you done this and kept the male children alive? And the midwives said to Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not like the Mishraim women, for they are lively and give birth before the midwives come to them. Were they telling the truth? Or were they lying? Could they have been lying? But listen, it's not lying when it's what Elohim is saying. You know what I'm saying? It's not lying when they fear Elohim. Elohim didn't want those boys to die, those babies to die. So the midwives said, no, they're giving birth. It's like a husband and a wife. One's serving God, one's not. Right? The one that's serving Elohim should never compromise to make the other one happy or don't want to ruffle feathers or whatever, you know, whatever it might be. Like I'm saying, like the Shabbat or the feast days that we keep, you might have a husband who don't, or a wife who doesn't see it, who's not on board with it. But don't let that override the fear of Elohim, the fear of your spouse. Don't do that. You stand firm on his word. You stand firm and watch him. You love. Remember that? You love till the change come, because the change is going to come. Amen. They're only going to fight for so long until they're going to decide to be, I'm done fighting. It's time to align myself with that. It's time to, how do you say that? Can't beat them, join them. You can't beat them, join. It's time to join them. Why? Because they go, why? Because they're seeing, if you standing firm to the word, and they see how much you prospering and he's blessing you, even when stuff is going wrong in your life, but yet he's blessing you, you're smiling, you're happy, they're going to want that. They're going to want it. Human strategy cannot outmaneuver Elohim. Human strategy cannot outmaneuver Elohim. No matter what Pharaoh had in his mind of how much he was going to destroy the newborns and put so much weight on the children of Israel that it was going to just like wipe them out. He wanted to wipe them out. In his mind, he was maneuvering that. But you can't outmaneuver Elohim. He says, okay, Pharaoh, I'm going to show you. Put more bricks. Put more weight. Set people up in their lives to over them taskmasters to drill them every single day and let them know how no good they are. How if it wasn't for Joseph, y'all wouldn't even be. I could only imagine the stuff that people must have been telling them as they was working, trying to get the job done. But yet every time Pharaoh took I like to talk about chess. I'm not a chess player. I don't understand it at all. But I like when they say checkmate. Uh-huh. And every time Pharaoh would move his little pawn or his little queen or his little king, there was Elohim. Checkmate. Every single time. Checkmate. Can outmaneuver Elohim. The creator of the universe. How you gonna outmaneuver somebody who spoke this whole world into existence? It's ludicrous. But fear. When we get the fear on us, we start doubting. Is he doing it? Is he going to do it? But he never loses his covenant. He never walks away from the covenant. Verse 21, and it came to be, because the midwives feared Elohim, and he provided households for them. And Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, throw every son who is born into the river and kept alive every daughter. Notice, throw every son. And he didn't have a clue on what he was stepping into when he said that. Because they did. They threw a son into the river. But they put him in a basket. And look, the trip part about it was the funniest part is that his own daughter helped raise the person who was going to help him bring them out of Mizraim. His own daughter. Found Moses in the basket. Gave him, we know the story. We're about to know the story if we don't know it yet. But I'm getting ahead of myself. That's way on down the line. But I'm going to just finish up right here. This is 22. And Pharaoh commanded his people, saying, to every son who was born into the river and kept alive every daughter. Pharaoh's oppression was not random. It was strategic, spiritual resistance against Elohim's plan. It was strategic spiritual resistance against Elohim's plan. It wasn't about we didn't think it was just about the people, but it was so much deeper than that. Because they knew that Messiah was coming. The enemy knew he couldn't stop it. But he can try to manipulate a human being who has power, who has all authority on earth, to try to stop what was going to happen later on in life, but he couldn't. No matter what he did, he couldn't mess up or wreck the plan that Elohim had. It says, for believers, God may be working through slow. And I almost said that when my wife mentioned that a little while ago, how she felt like he was going slow at times. It felt like she was just barely moving. But hidden growth. God may be working through slow. Hitting grow even when circumstances feel tense. So look, if you barely moving like this, it doesn't matter. You're moving. Keep moving. It's heavy. The weight's heavy. You put all those weights on. You carry that every day, some of us. Whether it's doubt, fear, anxiety, whatever you want to name or put on it, that weight, it feels heavy, but you keep moving. You tell them, Father, I don't understand. I don't know why it's so heavy. I don't know why it's so hard for me to break off of it. But hopefully this Exodus, we're breaking off little fellows at the time. Every Shabbat, that's my goal. Every Shabbat, when I come in and we sit and take part of this Exodus, this whole chapter, I want to make sure I'm knocking off a little fellow every time. Not taking a weight off. And I want the hidden ways, because it's obvious you can see the big stuff. It's the things that I don't see or I don't think is a lot of weight until my basket's full. Until it's full like this. That's my goal as we come in through this Exodus, that I want to knock off every Shabbat. Something I got to let loose. Something I got to, loosen. Loosen, like Yeshua said in that Matthew, loosen and bind. This is our loosen and binding. We got the power. He gave me the keys. Do we get that? He gave us the keys to unlock this. We don't have to hold on to that. We don't have to hold on to those burdens. But that's what my goal is, to really let him search deep down inside and find those ones that build on each other. It's like, little things that attach. Then next thing you know, another one attached. Next thing you know, you got these big old gray bricks. Like, instead of the little ones, you got the big gray one at the bottom. For all hearers, what God blesses should be received with gratitude. What God blesses should be received with gratitude, not treated as a threat. What you're saying? Is that when you see a brother or a sister, or even, it don't have to be a brother or sister, it could be a non-believer who's getting stuff. They might not see it as that the Father's blessing them. They might think, like Pharaoh, I got all the money, I got some money, I got this, I got a business, plenty of power. But at the end of the day, it's the Father who's blessing them. Don't treat it as a threat. Don't look at it as a threat. Pastor mentioned something the other week at COI with the two brothers. The law of reciprocity. When he succeeds, you succeed. When you succeed, he succeeds. That's the kind of mindset I want for each and every last one of us in here. If I'm succeeding, I want y'all to succeed. If y'all succeeding, y'all should want me to succeed. That's how the Father works. Don't treat it as a threat because somebody's getting a little more. No. You can get the same thing. You got the same key he's got. Unlock it. Walk in it. He said he gives you the key. He didn't say, I just gave Pastor the key, or I just gave Papa the key, or Brother Rob the key. No, he said, I give y'all the keys, believers. I gave y'all the keys. Unlock it. Amen? He's good to us. That was probably the fastest y'all ever going to go through Genesis, Exodus 1. Because I did it because I know I just break the ice. Because I know we're going back. Somebody's going back to verse 1 and going to chop this bad boy ninja style. It's going to be hibachi by the time we finish. I can promise you. So we need to eat. Listen, come hungry every Shabbat. Come hungry. Come with an intention, with an excitement to know that I'm laying something down before I leave. Today I did. This morning I'm laying stuff down. I'm not coming back. I'm not leaving here with these same burdens that I had. He's going to have to try to sneak something else in on me. But be aware. Be aware. We always tell our kids, be aware of your surroundings. Be aware. Spiritually, be aware of your surroundings. Amen? He's good to us. That's all I have. So I thank y'all. And I hope it made sense. Especially on a spiritual level, because that's what I really wanted to try to hit home. Because we read the story and we know that's what they went through. So how can I learn from this? What can I learn from this? And we know the scripture tells we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We're against principalities. He done took it a step further. So, yeah, we need to be on guard all the time and ready. Amen? Let's stand.